Shos Avrechim, Perek Ches, Heis Sadik. The last part of the last perek, the Rebbe was taking us through a very, very exciting journey. A return to Mitzrayim and the experience of the Yetzias Mitzrayim as a way of using our Koyach Hatzir and Dimyon imagination and power of concentration to be able to learn Torah in a way that has a tremendous hashpah on ourselves, on our family, on our children. The journey that we're now going to take with the Rebbe, at the beginning of Parakhas, is not as pleasant a journey. You'll see in a moment. But he's giving us a second example of how to use the Koyach HaMachshava and the Koyach HaDimyon in Avodas Hashem in a very practical way. That we know that Chazal were very clear about it in a number of places. And he begins, V'kevin shekein, Perches, V'kevin shekein, Shemenisrachavus HaMachshavus, Kikon Eilu, Gam Machshava Chazoka, V'gam Misrachshus Talena Lecha. So a person sees that by expanding the Machshavus, for example, what we were just doing in the previous parak, that brings to a feeling distractious, that brings to a feeling that strengthens the distractious. The emotions are definitely affected by that. Therefore we have to use this way of thinking not only when it comes to machshavas that are meraimimus as ruach adam, that lift the spirit of a person, Kiyasiyas Mitzrayim Hanal, Kabbalas HaTorah, such as Yitzis Mitzrayim, Kabbalas HaTorah, Tarachiv HaSefashet B'chol Eira HaGoyra V'Aymek Mechachiv HaLibcha, that caused this expansion of one, a tremendous expansion of one's mind and one's heart, Ragam Eisna HaMachniyas Es Ruach Adam, Umadakis Es Yitzvah Shebekeva. We have to give an example now of expanding and being mamik, deepening a machshava that will bring to a person's that's machniach the ruach adam, that will cause a person's spirit to be more humbled and submissive, and in doing so will have an effect to crush the yetzahara that's within him. His bunyan nabokh of arvech chasid, he says, look carefully. Kama musha hayisa He said, think how fortunate, how happy a person would be if he was able to be machnia his ruach, if he was able to suppress the ruach that comes at a time when the Yetzirah is beginning to be, when the Yetzirah's maskul shtagel lahilo begins to chas v'shalom to take over the person, to get out of control. L'garis b'cha is a taiva she'daim alecha she'koshi yoyisim yechaltecha l'shavra. And the Yitzhar is driving you to give in to a taiva, to a desire that seems to you that is that taiva, at the time of the Yitzhar is so strong, a person feels that it's impossible for him to overcome it. He just doesn't feel that he can. If it was possible at that moment when the Yetzirah was so strong, if it was possible for you to break your entire self and your rotzen, and in doing so you'd be able to explode your Yetzirah and your taiva, tzaddik, you said, then you'd be a big tzaddik. If every time that you felt a powerful yetzahara, you were able to break it, then you'd be a big tzaddik. Gam libcha, gam kol atzmacha biyadecha hayu. You would feel the strength of owning and being in control of your own heart and your own being. Why is it that you don't have this fortune, this happiness? Why are you not able to shatter in a moment, to break these destructive ruchais that are storming within you? They're seeking to destroy you in both worlds, in this world and in the next world. Why don't you have the strength to break that ruach? We already learned the teaching of my father. How a person has to be ma'ira, has to arouse within himself a simple yiras shamayim. Shall kol panim yir melafanim yisbarach yiras einish, that at least a person to begin with should, at the time when he's confronted with an aveira, at the time when the yisara is strong, that at least he should be fearful of the punishment. There should at least be yiras einish liyam sheir chasam, that he shouldn't get punished chasam. Kikol bal chai sheir l'nafsho, which his father was talking about this, and we learned that every animal is afraid of something that's dangerous. Every animal instinctively knows this, to stay away, to run away from something that could cause him pain, that could cause him harm. So at least a Jew should have yiras ha'einish, when he stops for a moment and thinks that this avarik is terribly harmful for him in this world and in the next world. The Rebbe says, of course, it's true that a thought, that a simple thought without any oimik, without any depth, without any hisbonus, without really meditating, that simple thought of Yiras Ha'enish is not going to save you from the Yetzirah. It's not going to prevent you from engaging in such a self-destructive act that could, God forbid, hurt you in this world or the next world. So therefore, the Rebbe is going to show us how to be mamik in a machshava, in a thought, using the Kach HaDinyan, that will strengthen one's yiras ha'einish, to strengthen one's fear of punishment, and an example of his bainanus that a person can use, each person, the coin to his own kaifis and his own imagination and his own rotzen to be better in order to save him from the Yetzirah. The Chachamein Zal, Chazal taught us a very powerful means of overcoming the Yetzirah. Yazkel Yom HaMisa. Chazal say, you remind the Yetzirah, or you remind yourself of the day of death. Yazkel Yom HaMisa. Ein zeh yirish lo ye'onesh. It's not just the concept that a person thinks, oh, I don't want to get punished. I don't want to have to worry about things in the next world. It's more than just that. It's not just a year shall yanish. It means thinking about and remembering that which is more difficult, more bitter than any punishment that you could imagine in this world. Because we don't know what it means. What does it mean, the punishments of the next world? But there is something that we can think about, he says. There is something that no person can ever be saved from. No person can ever avoid. Like I once said, there was a Jewish comedian who said that I always knew that there was death. I was just hoping it wouldn't happen to me. Right? So he says, Ki Isa b'Gemara, says in the Gemara, Lailam Yagiz Adam Yetzer Tayva Yetzer. The Gemara says that a person should always try to strengthen the Yetzer HaTayv over the Yetzer Hara. But v'im nitzchay motiv, if you were able to be victorious, if the Eitz HaTov was victorious, good. V'im lav yasek b'toyra, if you see that you're not overcoming the Eitz HaTov, yasek b'toyra, you should try to learn some Torah. V'im lav yikur kriyashma, and if this still is not working, then you should say kriyashma. V'im lav, if all of this is not helping, then yaske l'yam hamisa. Then you remind yourself of the day of death. Yaske l'yam hamisa. Ad kan loshna gemara. That's the gemara says. Shemashma she'em tsoi ha'afrin hazeh. From the gemara we understand that even though it's preferable not to have to enter into that morbid thought of the yam hamisa, the day of death, but what we see that if learning Torah, if just the struggle of one's Yetzer Tov, with the learning of Torah and Kriya Shema, all of that is still not successful, then the most powerful means of dealing with the Yetzer Hara is remembering the Yom HaMisa. Shem Soi HaAchman HaZeh Shal Yaskel Yom HaMisa Hukra Emsoi HaBatuach. It's the most powerful Emsoi, the most powerful means and weapon in overcoming the Yetzer Hara. So most people just, a person tries this Yaskel HaMisa, he just thinks, oh, you know, I'm going to die one day. So that doesn't work either. Because the Rebbe explains, of course it doesn't work. It means the only time that it will work if a person is misboining in Yom HaMisa. If a person thinks into it deeply, not just Yaskel HaMisa, that he knows, everybody knows that there's a Yom HaMisa, that there's a day of dying. But it doesn't mean just to know that there's a day that a person will leave the world. It means to be mamik in that machshava, to go into it with great depth and use the imagination, the dimyun, which the Rebbe does here and in one or two other places in his Sram, which we've seen once over the years. See, that's what he explains. He says, Yom Yisukukvam Tzoy Badorach, this is Vaseinu Zayis Eifav Yisinot Tzel, Avel Kanal, but it's as we learned before. If it's just a passing thought for a moment that you remind the Yetzer Hara of the Yom HaMisa, the day of death, that's not going to work. Well, remember the Lashon, he says, I always knew that there was death, I just didn't want to be there when it happened. I think that was the Lashon. So a person has such a dimyun his entire life. If you just think of it for a second, that's not going to change anything. But he says, Naseinu la'harchiv aisa. Gam b'shol she'en yitzcha megar b'chay. He said, at a time when you're not having a problem with a particular issue with your Yetzer Hara, just a quiet time, where a person can be mizbeinin, at a quiet time, because when the Yetzer Hara is very, very strong, and you're not used to this as blindness, so then naturally you're not going to want anything to get in the way of your Yetzirah. Because if there's a very strong Yetzirah, something is available to you, and there's a big taiva, so unless you're tremendous Yirei Shamayim, the last thing you want to do is to steer that taiva. You don't want to get in the way of that taiva. So why would I want to think of something horrible and morbid and permanent if I have this moment that I could enjoy? So the Rebbe says, so that has been to begin with. You can't do that at a time when the Yetzer Hara is strong inside of you for a particular aveir, because then you're not misbinding in anything. You're just like an animal. So the only Yetz is that when it's a quiet time. He says, "Naseinu laharchiv aisa gam b'shor she'en yitzuch megar b'cha." When you're not having a particular fight with the Yetzer Hara, to be misbinding in the Yom HaMisa, what that means, the day of death. And when you think about it deeply, you misbind in it, the thought will expand until it causes you to have tremendous distractions. And then, when inevitably you're going to have an issue with your Yetzer Hara, at some point, a couple of minutes ahead. In Maktazka Oyskos Yom HaMisa, then, if you remind yourself of the Yom HaMisa, of the day of death, Kfi Hisraksha Sha'arva Lecha, because of the great emotion that passed over you, that you felt, when you were thinking about it and meditating upon it, whatever it was, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, last, you know, week. But when now when Yaske Liyam HaMisa doesn't only mean to remember that you're going to die, it means to remember that Tziya, that Machshava, that very, very, very clear picture of Yom HaMisa. When Mikol Shekein, Kishagam Ata Taschil Lefashta, and certainly if you have the strength and the presence of mind, now when you have the Yetzara, if you still have the presence of mind to be able to think more deeply and to refer back in a deeper way to that Machshava of the Yom HaMisa, then you'll see the Bez Hashem, this advice, this Eitzah of Chazal, tifalacha, it will work for you. Meruchacha im yitzacha yishaveyu. And the Ruach, this and the Eitzahara, this Eitzah will break. Fa'atzmacha u'kudushascha yischasko yakomu. And you yourself, who you really are, and the Kedusha and the holiness of who you really are will become chazik, will be strengthened, and will be able to stand up, will be able to prevail. Gam hispashtus machshava zu tia kefi she'isa b'svarim kedoshim v'gam lefi she'ra'inu b'poel Hashem yishmeinu m'kol ra. He says, this hispashtus, this way of thinking, is according to what we find in the svarim kedoshim. And Hashem, of course, should protect everyone from evil. And of course, we begin with the tefillah that Hashem is about to give each and every Jew long years, good health and long years. He says, now what we're going to try to envision is not something that happened thousands of years ago, like Yitzias and Sinai, or Maimon HaSinai, which we were just learning. And we're not talking now about something that only a couple of Jews have to go through, that happens to some people. That perhaps there are some people who are spared this inyan. That we could entertain the hope that maybe what we're going to learn now doesn't apply to any of us. Kva Omra HaGemara, the Gemara already says, Saif Adam Lomas was Saif Behemel HaShchita. Saif Adam Lomas, the final end of each person is death. And the Saif Behemel HaShchita, Saif Behemel, not every animal is going to get shechted, but every person is going to die. But the Hakolim Yisahim Amidim, but everything is going, but the animal and the human being are all destined to die. Ein mi Hashem imenu yinotza. There is nobody. There is nobody who's potter from this. Nobody who's going to avoid this. Bekashi is benin hiish bezeh. When a person thinks about this, Yirish has atzmai enam evin. When a person is misbenin in this, the eventuality of his own demise, of his own death, he will see Shes Atzma in Amevin, he doesn't understand himself. Loi Bilvad, Eichi Moshech Achar Yitzray, Lasa Dvarim HaMesarim, where the person really is misbinding in the eventuality of death, then it becomes very, very, it becomes a wonder. It's difficult to understand at that point. How could he possibly follow his Yetzahara when it comes? He says, even when it comes to Dvarim HaMesarim, not even things that are forbidden, not even things that are forbidden, but even things that are permitted, just permissible things that are not essential, that are not necessary, that are only lamalis tavosai ena meivin, that are just to fulfill his taiva. He can't understand. If a person is burning in the eventuality of death, then even his preoccupation with permissible pleasures becomes absurd. Rakam's dvarim hechrechim lay. even the things that we normally feel are absolute requirements and necessities, which of course nowadays the bar is getting much higher when it comes to, you know, what's absolutely, you know, necessary, you know, that, you know, can somebody live without that car? Can somebody live without the, you know, the iPod or the central air conditioner? Can somebody live without the comfortable home, the big home, and all of that? Even those things that hachreichim, that a person feels that are mukhrach, that are necessities, he realizes when he's mizbanin in the Yom HaMisa, it seems to him to be so silly, to be so pathetic and absurd. How is it that he spends his time thinking about these things and getting involved in these things just in order to enjoy, to fulfill that desire? Lo yeda, doesn't make sense. Since it's much more certain, that his death is much more certain, much more certain than the sun that you see burning in the sky, is much more certain that, and unquestionable, that you're going to die. When a person thinks deeply about the day of death, and how awesome and horrible that day is, then even the days that approach death, the days that precede death, which means all of life, are enough to cause a person to tremble and to scare away the Yetzahar. And if the day of death itself is not frightening enough, what follows the day of death? There was a Since I think that the Chofetz Chaim Chusei Yonah said once, no, it was Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Yeah, Reb Chaim Volozhiner said to try to imagine having a meeting in the old days with a person from the city, from the town of Luz. Everybody knows that the Malach HaMavis was not allowed, without going into any details, it's not for now, that the Malach HaMavis for quite some time, the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, was not allowed into the city of Luz. And because of that, people were not dying in that city, and they, until something was happened, but they were living on and on and on and on. There was no death in the city of Luz. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner said that imagine that you were a person from outside of Luz, and you happened to meet somebody from Luz. Now, you weren't able to just, everybody wanted to move there, but it was not, you weren't allowed in, right? So there was a fellow from Luz that you met. You know, he was in the mall someplace, he, for whatever reason, he was by the gate over there of Luz, and you were trying to figure out how do you get in there, and the Pavlov just said, so you started to schmooze with him, the subject of death came up, and the guy from Luz said, what are you talking about? So you explained to him, Reb Chaim says, you explained to him that the person lives 70 years if you're lucky, 80 years a person lives a little bit longer, but then that's it, you finish. And this is a person from, so he says, it's a person from Luz, doesn't chap like that. So you explained to him a little what that means. And then Reb Chaim says, you start to talk to him more, and he asks you, well, taking into account that this is what you guys have outside of our town, then probably you live just in caves, you just dig some pit in the ground and you live in there, because it's absurd for you to get, you know, to, it would be silly for you to build any kind of a palace or a mansion if you're just in the world for such a short time, it would be silly to waste your time on. So he said, no, actually we spend most of our lives figuring out how to build nicer homes and to, he says, and probably you just, he looked at him and said, I can't, so I would imagine that you would just wear a sackcloth, just a bag, over your bodies to protect you from the sun or the cold. There'd be no reason for you to really get involved in every day's a sales day at Sims type of a life, there's no tachlis. I mean, it's just for a couple of years. What's the tachlis? So it's not actually. We spent a lot of time in the Indian of clothing, a lot of time, and it went on. You know, Chaim was in this blindness of meeting the person from Luz, and with food, you probably, and with other things, and all the different types, and to each the person from Luz, like didn't happen. The guy from Asa, Luz said, no, actually, that's mostly what we do. So what was Reb Chaim Lozner saying? So the Mashgiach from Lakewood, Reb Nosson Meir Vachtel, the second cycle of Racha, explained, and he was saying how, he says, we think that Emunah is something which is complicated. You know, this whole deep thing, it's this deep thing, how to overcome the Yetzirah, and the moon is a very, very, very deep thing, and at some point in my life I'll try to think about it, I'll try to have it. So he says, it's the simplest thing in the world. He says, for that person for whom there is no death, to meet the person for whom there is death, the person who doesn't know of death thinks that somebody who is going to die has to be a lunatic, has to be an absolutely insane, crazy person to worry about silly things when he only has a short time in this world. Why would he even bother with it? Why would he even think about it? Why would you be worried about what kind of house you live in and what kind of things you have and tchotchkes and toys and cars and all? He said, so the Moshe Meir Rachel said, it's a davar pashut. He says, it's such pshitus. It's the simplest thing in the world if a person thinks about it. From the perspective of Emes, of Pnimius, he says the simplest thing in the world. Just that we don't think about that. Just like things are obvious to a child, and they're very simple to a child, and only in the course of life it starts to get complicated. But there's such a pastus to it. It's the same thing. What he is explaining here, the Rebbe, is that the Yom HaMisa, the certainty of death, there's nothing that's more powerful than that machshava to be able to break the delusion, the dominion of the Yetzirah. Because when a person has that Yetzirah and he feels, I can't possibly deal with that, it's only from the perspective of Hay Alma of this world that he takes this world so seriously, that taiva that he has, that Yetzirah that he has, is like a monster in this world. Just like, so there's the Rebbe saying, even if something which is permitted and the person feels I can't possibly exist unless I have that, you know, five bedroom house and the nicest block, you know, and the this kind of garage and that kind of car and this kind of, I can't possibly exist like this or like that. That's all a dimyan mamash. It's all just a delusion. But when a person is binding in Yom HaMisa, when he focuses on the certainty of death, And what that means as far as what this world is about and how much time that he has in this world, so then those things become very silly, they become very absurd, they become narishke. So it's like when a person is threatened, God forbid, with dying, or a person, chas v'shalom, has a terrible, terrible illness and he's in the hospital, and for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, for a month, he thinks he's going to die. And the doctors tell him that he has no chance of survival and he only has a month left. So during that time, so his machshavas, of course, are not going to be on taivas and yetzaharas and all the things. All he wants to do is to be able to live. And he's makabel. I was just talking to somebody who went through a very serious, very, very scary operation. And it's still not 100% clear what the outcome of everything is going to be. And he said to me that, he said he made so many kabbalas these past couple of weeks, you know, except upon himself, so many things, he says, I don't know what I'm going to do if I live. I don't know how I'm going to manage if I live. He said, I made so many kabbalas during this time. Like, oh boy, am I in big trouble if I'm okay? It's going to be pretty rough for me if I'm okay. You know, like he's whatever, all these kabbalas. Because the person then sees... The person then sees what the tachlis is, in the sense of the tachlis is. And in the Beis Medrash of Kelm, by the great Tzaddikim of Kelm, they said that the whole chilik between a Tzaddik and a Rosh, the whole chilik of a Tzaddik and a Rosh is this Nakuda. This Nakuda meaning the Yom HaMisa. It's a morbid way of thinking. But in Kelm, they said that the difference between a Tzaddik and a Rosh is that the Tzaddik is Mizboinin in this Nakuda. He's Mitzayer. The Alter from Kelm said he envisions and paints that picture of death in his mind on a regular basis. And the Rosh knows he's going to die, but he's not Mitzayev. He doesn't envision the day of death. He doesn't imagine it. He doesn't go into it deeply. He says that's the whole chilik from one to the other. Is there's a bindingness. A person doesn't want to be misbinding that because it's going to spoil his fun. But then a kudah is a bindingness. Like Abshalom Shalom used to say on this Indian that this is the kayach of his bindingness of imagination. So everybody knows, the Gemara tells us that the one chut, the one thread, you know, of tchelis, of blue, right, and the tzitzis, that a person looks at the tchelis of the tzitzis, and it reminds him of the ocean, right, and the ocean, the blue, and the blue reminds him of the sky, and then the sky reminds him of what? Of the kitzur covered of the Baruch Shalom. So Shalom said, who thinks of that when you look at the blue tzitzis? Like, you know, you look at it, you look at the tzitzis, you think, you know, to think of that. But maybe, you know, a person thinks of JetBlue, you know, going to Miami, as my father says, every time, blue jet, I always say JetBlue, Daddy says, blue jet, just had this yesterday, because how was your flight back, Daddy, it was good, you know, blue jet is so wonderful. I said JetBlue, he says blue jet. So you might think of, you know, your flight to Miami. You might think of your flight to Miami. So what's going on, what do you mean, a person's going to look at the blue and the trailers, and he's going to remember the ocean is blue and the sky is blue, and then the kisei kavod, and then you're going to think of the Rebbe Shlom is over you, and so Shalom said, well, you know, it's hard to understand that. He said, well, listen, there's another Gemara, and it's a din actually in Shulchan Aruch, in Evan Ezra, and Simcha Fav, there's a din, but it's also to listakel, it's also to look at the big day tzivayin, at the clothing of a woman that you know. A woman that you know that's hanging on the clothesline. You're not allowed to look at that clothing. Why? Because you know this lady, right? And if you look at her clothing on the clothesline, so the Gemara says, "Shami Yahara," it could cause you to have thoughts that are inappropriate. Right? You see her clothing on the line, so you're not allowed to look at that. So Psalm says, interesting. How come nobody says about that that there won't be the Chagag, your way of, you know, that train of thought? Now, that you could hear. You know, there's some nice lady in the neighborhood, and the things are hanging on the line. The dresses, the other young men are hanging on the line. That what? That by looking at that, you might come to think of that, and then. That nobody has a kasha. But when it comes to looking at the trailers, why would you ever think of the kisa covered? I've never think of it. How would that remind me of the kisa covered? So why can't you say the same kasha? Why would that dress ever make me think of that lady? I've never think of that. I would never make the connection between that thing over there. It's a piece of clothing. Why would I make the connection between a piece of clothing and the person who is it? So something's interesting. With the trailers, so there you can't figure, why would a piece of clothing make me think about the kisa covered? But the other way, why would a piece of clothing, you know, cause me to get to that whole Indian, to go from one step to the other, to God forbid that machshava? So Shalom says, it's just a rotzen that a person has, that's all. It is a rotzen. If the heart wants, so then the eyes can lead that person to all different things, if the heart wants. So that's what they meant in Kelam, when they said that when a Yid wants to break the Yitzhar, and a Yid has a rotzen to be a tzaddik, so then he not only remembers that he's going to die, everybody knows he's going to die. Everybody remembers he's going to die. But it means because of the rotzen that he has not to do any aveir, and the rotzen that he has to be an Elohi Yid, he's going to take that thought of death and be misbinding it, like the Rebbe does now, and think about it, and then one thought will lead to another thought, will lead to another thought. It prote protem of what it means, the day of death. And as a result of that, the person will be mischazik, and he won't do the aveir. But if a person doesn't have a rotzen like that, if his rotzen to be an elachid is not strong, then it's the day of death. It's like the tchelos. No, so what does that have to do with the kisei kavod, the tchelos? What does that have to do one thing with the other? Everybody knows, Bahamas, that there are a million things in the world that you say should have no shaykhs to any yitzhar, but a person can look at that, and because of his vitsinus, that it leads him to thinking about other things, until finally he's lost in some kind of crazy yitzhar. And how did it all begin? From some narishkeit. From some narishkeit. See, so you have a person who will say, okay, what does it mean, kalbi she'ev? What does it mean that the voice of a woman singing is ev, is harayis? What does that mean? And then you have, nowadays there's a hutra haritzu, another one of the hutras haritzu is that you'll see in our neighborhood and other neighborhoods, is that, you know, women will get up and speak publicly and make whole speeches and so on. And okay, I'm not going to go into Pratim this Indian, but so they say there's a din of kol isha when it comes to a woman getting up to speak, and all this diyunim, all these shaklavatayas that are filled with the hypocrisy of the secular world, the shek of the secular world. Adam Yadeya ben Afsha, the Chazal were very smart people. And so the Mislaisim say, that's ridiculous. Only the rabbis could say such a thing, that I listened to a song, and that song, from that I'm going to have a taiva. some lady gets up at a funeral, and she starts to say hesped, but there was never in the history of Gleis or that women should get up to be masped ever. I'll pick a bullet, but kaishi that a woman even comes into a place where there's a mace. And anybody who ever learned this from a Kadesh knows that. But nowadays the women get up and they must speed eyes and to go up to some rabbits in front of a whole oilum of men and talk. So all of these things, a person is smarter than Chazal. Smarter than Chazal, and he outsmarts Chazal, and he says, what? It's not anymore, it doesn't have a shaykhus to me, it doesn't have no taivas for these things. And every honest person knows that there are all kinds of connections from one thing to another, that in a person's mind, and other midei maris nafsha, each person has his own avoda. That when a person's rotzen is not pure, when a person's holiness is not intact, how the Yetzirah works, and that how those connections can, God forbid, be made, and they're very often made, even much more absurd things than that. So that's what they meant in Kelm, that the whole chiluk is the koyach hatzia, what the Rebbe's talking about, to be mitzayir in one's mind. But when it comes to the Yom HaMisa, so then the Rosh says, he knows that there's going to be death, but there's no tachlis in thinking about it. He doesn't think about it. He just knows that he's going to die, but he doesn't think about it. And he's not mitzayah then. And that's what they meant when they said, that's the whole chiluk between a tzaddik and a Rosh. So the siyurim of the Rosh, the images of the Rosh are images in Tumah. There he's mizbayning. And the Rosh that makes fun that he doesn't, that call the isha, that the singing of a woman doesn't mean anything, and the uncovered hair doesn't mean anything, and the uncovered arms doesn't mean anything, and the rest of the body being covered doesn't mean anything, it's nothing, I'm not that kind of a person. Maybe the rabbis thought like that, but I certainly don't think like that. Those are the diburim of the Rishon, that they know better than Chazal what a person is, and they themselves know how many times they're nichshol. The ones that speak like that are the ones that are nichshol more than anybody else. The ones that said that, why does it mean anything, right? Well, we didn't do it yet. Let's first learn about it, and then each person from Shira Dilai. Obviously, the Rebbe does not recommend that's something that a person. It's not the way of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov to be overly involved in these kind of thoughts. But each person, according to the nature and the strength of his taivis and of his yetzahara, so each person has to know how much and when. There's no cloud, there's no rule, there's no halacha. That's what the Gemara says. It's not a lechatchila. Lechatchila is yasik b'tayra, yizgaber yasik b'tayra, kriyashma. There's a mahalach. Means that the preferable thing is that a person should be busy learning Torah and have his mind occupied with learning and davening and doing mitzvahs and positive things, and he shouldn't have to use this often. But one has to use it sometimes. And not only at the moment, what the Rebbe is saying is not only when the Yetzirah comes. Because then you're not going to want to do that. Then you have no rutz. Then you like the guy that says, what does the tzitzis have to do with the kisei kavod? Because you can't see anything, you're just blinded by the taiva.
Rabbi, at the end of Bavavi, Mishkanam, towards the end of the Sefer, that's what the Bavavi, the author, is going through, Yerusha Oynash. And he says how by doing it, you can get closer to the Kutcher Baruch Hu.
Yeah, the whole tachlis of this is the Dveikus Bashem. It's a hiskarvus Hashem, it has to be used properly. That it shouldn't become, God forbid, a destructive thing in a person's life.
As long as a lot of people suffer from depression, isn't it proper to make a question right now that there's some people for whom this is not an appropriate exercise?
There are certainly people for whom it would not be appropriate at a particular time in their lives. You're right, each person is different. And you could have a person who's, God forbid, even suicidal, chas v'chalil. And thoughts like this could be very, very harmful. So certainly the Rebbe would be the first one to tell that individual, this is not for you right now. And that's why 99% of what Rebbe talks about is the other type of ischaskes. However, he is addressing himself to the healthy, average young man. And remember that this is also written at a time, I don't know how to put it, either when people were not so depressed or when it wasn't yet clinically, it wasn't yet described or understood clinically, you know, what depression is. Certainly all the things about depression get people b'chlal very depressed. All this talk of depression is itself very depressing. But there is God forbid, if a person is depressed or chas v'shalom, you know, suicidal, then obviously there are times that it would be forbidden to engage in such thoughts. But
excuse me, Rabbi, just listening to Rabbi Ephraim Waxman on the Gerus HaRambam on this subject, and he was saying how the culture that thinks they're going to live forever and focuses on the youth, that brings on depression, and that's the biggest depressing thought there is, when somebody has it so backwards. So it's ironic that in the ideal situation, if you learn this enough, it would bring you to health.
Yeah, but Alan's talking about when a person's already not healthy.
Yeah.
If a person's already unhealthy, God forbid, and he's already chas v'shalom depressed, so then you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. Yeah.
It was funny how he was stressing how the youth culture, where you think you're gonna, is a really depressing.
Well, of course, that the whole depression comes from that. The whole depression comes from that, and it takes away from the person the whole cheshek to maximize his life for meaningful things, and because that culture of youth gives the impression that the kid, that he's gonna be young forever. So instead of focusing on meaningful, eternal things. So he loses himself in all kinds of narishkeit, and from there comes the depression and the drugs and the alcohol and everything else. And like you talk to all these old feminists, you know, the ones from the 60s, that they're now already over or bottle. You know, they're already the old feminists. There was a whole article a few years ago, my wife showed me on this Indian. There are like one or two holdouts that they're just totally, totally crazy people. But the average one from the old feminists now, from those days, like they're krechtzing, you know, that they don't have einiklich, they don't have grandchildren. They know, where are my einiklich, where are my grandchildren, and they don't have, you know, they don't have a family. Yeah, and so you have now, like, you have all these manuvolas, you have these people with these marriages, they want to get women with, you know, women and men, all these. But now that's the Indian now, right? Well, it was in the 60s and the 70s, there was just the feminism and all that stuff. So now it's already the next level of insanity is now women these inyan and marriages and all that, and all the courts all over America. So what's going to be the sif of these people? What's the end of these people? Like, what are they going to be, you know? So they're institutionalizing taivas, right? Like it's time. No, it's not just a taiva. It's not just a taiva, they want to take vows for their taiva. You know, you hear a person has a taiva, but they don't want to, like, you know, You don't want to give a ring for a taiva. You're a taiva, you know, it's embarrassing. You blush and you try. You don't want to get caught and you hope that no one will see you. You know, whatever. Taiva's not now. Now you have a photographer in a band. It's an amazing thing. What's going to be 20, 30, 40 years with all these Nabuchod, all these people, Shachmanis, all these, that they were, there's this article about these women that now they're 50, 60 years old, 70 years old, and they can't have children, and they want to adopt this and do that, and all kinds of ages, and they have nothing. It's like you said, that they're living in some apartment somewhere with their pictures, you know, with their pictures from the, you know, back in the old days. Their pictures from some demonstration, and with some alter hund, some old dog lying on a rug, and have with a mug, you know, vote from the governor or something, and they're sitting there wasting away, waiting for the Yom HaMisa Mamish. It's a big rachmanis. There was an article in the tape yesterday how there are these old yippies. You remember that from Abby Hoffman, all the whole group, and all Yidden, those guys, all Yidden. So they're trying to make a museum for they wanted to have a national landmark on the east side for some place where they used to all shoot up with drugs and get sick and talk about their craziness. So now they want to have a museum, and they have artifacts from the 1960s and the 1970s. And they want it to be recognized by the government, as you know, to be funded by the government. Yeah, it'll be for sure the government will fund it, because half the guys in the government were part of that chaver. So the Democrats, of course, those guys for sure. I'm not talking about the generals in the army. Those guys, they were the ones that were beating up those guys. but the guys like the Ted Kennedy boys. So they'll. I'm sure that they'll all vote very stark that they should all be national. So it's the biggest rachmanis. It's the biggest rachmanis. And that was from that culture of youth, what it brought to the world, meaninglessness and emptiness. That whole culture produced multitudes of depressed people, depression, and that's why depression became an institution. There were always people that were depressed. Hashem Yirachem. But you know, there's this hakira. Maybe they were always depressed. We just never helped them and never did anything. But I don't know. It's okay. Whatever. You know, meaning like back in the old days, you know, like on, you know, when all of this here was like farmland or something, whatever was going on over here, and you know the they were just like milking the cows and tending to the fields. So they were also like clinically depressed. You know, not clinically, just depressed. Like, I can't believe I'm sitting here looking at a cow. I should be doing something else, and my life is meaningless. And you know, whether or not there was such depression in those days, or whether or not modern civilization, with all of its nisyanis and all of its darkness, has accelerated the process of depression, has brought more of that on. So you know that there are very, very, very big studies and very big hakiris in this. Obviously, since there's no documentation of these inyanim in the old days, it's very hard to know. You know how this works, but there's no question that it's true. That avoiding the Yom HaMisa, not thinking of the eventuality of death, is itself a cause of terrible depression. So even though thinking about death can be a sobering or even depressing thought, but not ever thinking about death can cause terrible, terrible, and has caused terrible depression in the world. And that's what Dov's talking about, that he heard the shmuz, whatever, that culture of youth where there's only this moment. And because of that, they can't find meaning in their lives. And the depression that comes with meaninglessness. And when a person knows and reminds himself of the Yom HaMisa, and it creates within him a certain urgency to accomplish, an urgency, and the belief in La'acha HaMisa, that there's something beyond this world, and so on. And without having that, the depression is overwhelming. depression's overwhelming. And they're looking for all kinds of aids, how to help people not be depressed. All kinds of aids without meaning, without providing them with meaningfulness. That's why the honest askanim in the area of depression know that it's kemat impossible without religion. Kemat impossible. Without a Rabbi Shalom, whatever that way of presenting the Rabbi Shalom, I'm not saying the Torah mitzvahs, but whatever the perception is of God, that without a Rabbi Shalom, it's kemat impossible to overcome depression. I'm not talking about getting a fix, the latest antidepressant. I mean, in pnimis. That to overcome depression without the Rabbi Shalom is kemat impossible. And the honest therapists and psychologists and so, they know that that's true. They know that that's true, that without the Rabbi Shalom, it's... And those psychologists that don't know that, they themselves are depressed and commit suicide. But the ones that know that are helping other people in their connection to the Rabbi Shalom as well. Because they're inseparable. So now the Rebbe begins the tziur. He is a kama pam in Krakola. He goes into this prate prate. He says, it's happened before that this person has been sick. But after a day or a couple of days, he got better. But now he can't understand, what is this? Next page, you know, in the past he had different things, he got sick a couple of days and he got better. But now he doesn't know what's going on. It just goes on and on and on, the sickness. And it's hard for him to get out. He doesn't know how to get out from it. It's not getting out. From the beginning, he tries to trick himself, to deceive himself and to delude himself into thinking that, well, you know what, maybe it's not such a bad thing, it's not so terrible, the machla that I have, the sickness that I have. But it's like he's sinking in quicksand. He says, just when he thought that he got one foot out of the quicksand, he got one foot out, the other foot is sinking deeper in. So he thought he was getting out of this sickness. He thought it was coming to an end. And then something else breaks down inside of him, right? Something else. Shilshom Kvahutavloi. The day before yesterday, he was feeling a little bit better. So he starts to think, oh. The doctor says, oh, something's better. It's doing better. Like you see now, the people that have very serious cancer, Hashem Yirachem, that terrible machla. And, you know, they're counting this amount and that amount and where it is, and they're chasing the machla to this part of the body, that part of the body. The doctor says, no, yesterday the results came back a little bit like this and like that. And the whole body, it's going from one part of the body to the next, Hashem Yirachem, that terrible, terrible machla. So the doctor says, kihut of life. No, yesterday it came back okay. You know, as we saw, it looked like it's quiet, it's better, the blood cells. He felt so much better. He figured for sure, this is it, he's going to get up from bed. It's going to be alright. Then suddenly again, boom, it hit him again. And the suffering is even more. 32 nights. He's lying there, he can't fall asleep. Not only that, the whole house, the whole family, there's a billable. The whole family, there's a whole commotion in the family. He could sense that there's a commotion in the family. As much as everybody tries to hide it and look at it and like, yeah, everything's all right. Hayom lo yom, v'alayla lo layla. The day is not day and the night is not night. Why? Because Bnei Beisam is not only Yom Kevin Shahyaneim of Alayla, because the different members of the family are taking turns spending the night with him and being with him. So the whole house is really turned over. Zebekoshi Gairis Raglav Hayefais, Nishas Man Rav Omar Alayim, Lamayach Levavakim Shtakfu Yisurav. And he says Bekoshi, he's able to even move his feet. He's so tired because at the time that you have one of the, somebody from the family was standing there, being with him and watching him. Lamayach Levavakim Shtakfu Yisurav. The person was trying to stand on this foot and on that foot and whatever. So even though he's trying to convince himself that it's going to be okay, it's going to get better, he'll get out of this. There are times in his life that he was sick and he got out of it. But his heart already knows the bitterness of his soul. But be cared by and deep within him he has a feeling that this is it, kiva kitzai, that his end is near, the time has come for him to die. He's terrified of this feeling. Why should he be terrified? He always knew that he wasn't going to live forever. He knew that the person knows he's going to die. Nevertheless, but now that his heart tells him the truth that he's soon going to leave the world and the end has come, his entire body is shaking with fear. He thinks to himself, there's such a distance between knowing about death and death itself, knowing that there is death and actually dying. There's such a merchak, there's such a huge gap between those two. Come ato menasa lahofigid es pachat machshavta izu. He tries now to soften and to quiet this fear within him, this thought, not to think about it. Afla garsha kula, even though he's going to die soon, he tries to push away this thought altogether. Le merakas bonus. He just says, I'm just being nervous, I'm exaggerating, it's nervous. But he sees every minute his masav is getting worse. And his suffering becomes mamish unbearable. Alright, before it gets too unbearable, so you should be able to salvage Shabbos. So we'll stop here and we'll continue Mr. Shah, in good health next week.